ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Oscar hangover. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, wait, George in Tempe wants to tell me that Howard Dean says hello.
Yeah.
I need a little pick-me-up this morning.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Good morning, George.
Good morning, and not only did he say hello, but I watched him debate Karl Rove on Saturday night, and he kicked Karl Rove's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
It was awesome. And afterwards, there was a meet and greet, and I went up to him, and I said, you know, I got to call Stephanie on Monday morning and let her know that you just whooped them. You just whooped them. My wife actually had to do a rhetorical analysis of the debate, and there were 16 Scooby-Doo moments in Karl Rove's opening remarks. So,
right. Yeah. He should have called it rewriting history. Yeah. Bush didn't lie about weapons of mass. Huh? Okay.
But Howard had a hearty laugh for you and said, you make sure you tell her I said hi. So, you know, if I were your booking agent, I probably would have had him on the air today. But
all right. We love us some Chairman Dr. Governor
Absolutely.
Howard Dean. Thank you, George. All right. I watched as much of the Oscars as I could, being the giant loser that I am. But they made me feel like an even bigger loser. You want to know why?
Why?
Well, you know how watching like the Olympics, first of all, can make you feel anybody feel like a fat loser, fat underachieving loser.
Yes.
I don't know why the Oscars just made me feel like an underachieving loser for some reason. You don't want it because Monique,
right,
who is fabulous, the Disney executive that gave me my late night TV show is her agent. And I remember her saying, oh, I have this new client. I'm like, Monique, whatever. What's she going to make of herself? And good for her. She won an Oscar last night.
She did.
I didn't, first of all, because I'm a giant loser, I've seen hardly any of the films. How about you?
I saw
Avatar and I saw Julia and Julia. That's it.
That wasn't up for Best Picture.
I know, but Meryl Streep was up for, but I, it was a...
No, I saw Avatar, I saw Up in the Air, I saw Up, I saw Precious. I think that might be it.
So, it was the night of the woman. Let's hear it for Kathryn Bigelow. She's the first female director to win, right?
Yep.
Rock on. And plus, she beat her ex-husband, which is a, you know, just is a gleeful thing for women everywhere.
They were happy for each other.
Oh, I'm sure he was. Yeah, I didn't like Avatar. I told you, first of all, because you have to have plastic surgery after on your nose. Because those 3D glasses are too heavy. All right. And plus, I appreciated the visual effects. I just didn't really get it, the whole Avatar blue people thing, and which was real and which wasn't. And it was violent. And you know how it is. I was not a fan.
It wasn't that violent?
Yes, it was violent. There was killing of animals. It was not my thing.
They weren't real animals.
But I'm just saying I'm glad the big special effects movie didn't necessarily win.
Well,
because you know me, I'm not good with special effects. Like I told you at the very end, Avatar is what, like 3 hours? For some reason, at the end, the little thing that flies in your face I thought was real, and I started flailing my arms around. In the theater, so I was, and I'm like, I don't know why, I suddenly thought that was real. That was not a 3D effect. I was like, it was a butterfly in my face.
To me, Pandora just looked buggy. I didn't want to go there. You know,
it looked humid and buggy.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I just, no, uh-uh.
Not good for the hair and just,
no.
Oh.
No, but Precious, exactly. Precious was an amazing movie and Up in the Air. And
okay,
Up.
I got it. Now I have to see those. See that?
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm going to have to catch up after now.
Both of those movies.
I didn't
movies.
See Hurt Locker. It must have been good. Won Best Picture, Best Director.
It's the lowest grossing Best Picture winner ever.
Oh, look at you with the busting out the fun facts.
Hey, you know, I'm a
fun... The lowest non-holiday opening on a three-day...
No. Actually, that one's pretty cut and dried. It's the lowest grossing Best Picture winner ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I heard... there's been no point for me in watching the Oscars ever since Joan Rivers is gone, because that was the most entertaining thing to me, just what she was going to blurt out. Remember, what was my favorite the one year? Oh, to Anthony Hopkins. Oh, you brought your mother! This is my wife. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Actually, it made me uncomfortable to watch her, because she kept getting things wrong.
Exactly. I just... You
do your job and learn your stuff.
Obviously had no producing of any kind.
Right.
She had no information, really, about any of the nominees or any of the pictures, which I loved.
And she didn't seem to care, which was kind of annoying to me.
Oh. You know, Sam Rubin, our buddy, who I love, mm-hmm. He's an entertainment reporter. I heard there was a cringeworthy moment. He was talking to... Who was he talking... I didn't see it, but I heard about it. He was talking to somebody, and he literally blurted out, "Ooh, there's Kathryn Bigelow, but I'll talk to you for a couple minutes." That's Like, because people try not to say that. That's in the thought bubble.
Right.
Oh, there's someone much more important than you I see over your shoulder. Like, you try not to say it to the person. But in this case, he actually put it. I see someone much more important, so I will just talk to you until she gets here. See, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I thought Ryan Seacrest did a great job yesterday. I didn't watch. Yep.
There was almost a crisis of biblical proportions here in New York. I don't know what happened because I actually don't have cable vision. But
that's right. You have slime porner.
Exactly. It's the only time in my life I've been happy I have slime porner because I was not affected. But I don't know whether did they end the standoff because there were 3 million New Yorkers that were not going to be able to watch the
They're
Oscars.
Still in negotiations, but the Oscars came on about 20 minutes into it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so they got WABC back about 20 minutes into the Oscars.
Yeah. New York was crazy yesterday. I don't know why. It might have been that. People were just a little over. I saw a guy stole someone's cell phone out of their car, and the woman was running all the way Central Park West after the guy. It was extra New York-y kind of New York-y.
And you're having politicians resigning with ethics investigations all over the place.
New York is imploding.
It really is. What's going on?
I actually went to Broadway.
Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Well, apparently it does, because I went to see Jersey Boys yesterday, and there was yelling in the theater after the show. I don't know. New York was extra New York-y yesterday.
Hmm.
I don't know. That must be something in the water. That's what's happening to New York Democrats. People are going insane.
Makes me want to come visit.
Anyway, John Fugelsang gave me a tip. You can go to the box office like last minute. I got like second row center for Jersey Boys and then for Billy Elliot on Saturday.
Oh.
And it was, I got performers spit on me and sweat, and it was.
I hear Billy Elliot's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I'm over entertained now. Between that and the Oscars, I've had entirely too much entertainment this weekend.
When are you going to go see Phantom?
Phantom?
Is that still open?
Oh, I've seen that 1,000 years ago. No, but anyway, I've never been that close. I don't know how I lucked out, but
You know what, though? If The Lion King is still playing, I saw that when it was here. It absolutely blew me away. Go see it. Seriously.
I haven't been to Broadway ever since I got the memo that Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. I thought I wasn't allowed, and now I found that's not true.
Says no.
Broadway goes for booze and dope. A lot of it, actually.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently they do. All right, so we have a big show. The Rude Pundit, of course, coming up in a few minutes, our normal Monday guest, and Eric Boldert from Media Matters for America to co-host A Rollicking Right-Wing World next hour. In the meantime, everybody sent me this story so that I could say, and now, a story about a bear.
Oh.
No, that's the beaver story's next.
I see. Okay.
This is because it's Monday and it's drunk stack.
Ah.
You know, it's weekend drunk stories for mama.
Right.
You saw this one out of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Woman bitten by a bear at Wisconsin zoo. The fingers severed. No. She was not bitten by a Wisconsin Jew.
Oh, okay.
Stephanie Miller Show would like to apologize.
To all Wisconsin Jews.
What am I, Mel Gibson? Mel Gibson said, by the way, he's going to watch the Oscars at home naked. And I'm guessing there was a lot of screaming about Jews. I'm just going to guess.
Might be.
Okay.
I know in Inglourious Bastards, the guy who won for that, he screamed a lot.
He can't scream stuff about Jews in public anymore. So I would imagine he watches most things at home so that he can do that. Anyway. I meant to say Wisconsin Zoo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, a woman was bitten by a bear. Her fingers, she actually lost a couple of fingers.
Ooh.
Alcohol, you may be surprised to know, played a factor.
Of course.
Police say a bear bit off a woman's fingers at a Wisconsin Zoo after she ignored barriers and warning signs to try to feed the animal. I think it pretty explicitly says, do not feed the bears. But, you know, you've had a couple of shots and...
signs become irrelevant.
Exactly. Yeah. The bear looks hungry. There you go. That did not have a happy ending. She's fine. Hassan's a few fingers.
I see. Okay.
And then she has to tell that story for the rest of her life. Yes, I tried to feed a bear. You're not supposed to feed a bear, you know. Yeah, I know. I tried to feed a bear. Okay. You are an idiot. All right. Oh, and this is a beaver stack. Julie in Seattle, the official beaver reporter of the stack. Since I'm in the animal news, this is out of Eugene, Oregon. Animal lovers save injured beaver in Eugene.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Well, and sometimes, you know, too enthusiastically, and there's an injury.
Sure.
Patty Stevenson volunteered for Wildlife Refuges in a horse rescue operation, so her heart naturally went out when she saw a beaver stuck in a metal fence. Yeah, that's... That could be on a Jim's Game Show, the America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps. That, you know, that's that happens, and it's not pretty.
I'm sure it's happened before.
A crowd of people had gathered, which I'm sure.
When you got a beaver caught in a metal fence, yeah.
Yeah, you don't see a beaver stuck in a fence every day. Wednesday, Stevenson and others released the beaver back into the Willamette River. Oh, that's a happy. See, there's a happy ending there. Volunteer Barb Robinson says, we're not supposed to name our beavers.
Hmm.
Well.
Some do.
Sometimes we do, though. You can't help it. It warms it up.
It warms it up? I thought other things warmed it up.
Because Barb Robinson says, because they're not pets. She's actually a beaver number 15, which seems very impersonal, but beaver number 15 is free now.
You know, some people pet their beavers.
When you get to 15 beavers, because you could...
They become a crazy beaver lady.
Impersonal. Exactly. All right, Julie, thank you for that. Beaver stuck in a fence is not, that is not a good day. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Julie has also as well sent me a future husband sack for the weekend. Future husband alert. German police detained a man they caught trying to snort amphetamines off the top of their unmarked patrol car.
Oh.
No.
You don't
it's
do
not
that.
Not a good choice.
No.
The 26-year-old began lining up the powder drugs on the roof of the car in a disco car park. Oh, Chris, how many times do you have to teach your children do not snort methamphetamines off a cop car at the disco car park? When two police officers surprised him. Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a howdy-do. What? Pardon me, officers. Could you wait till I finish snorting this methamphetamine off the trunk of your car?
In this disco car park?
He says no.
What kind of cops go to the disco car park? The ones, like, from the Village People or... What? I don't know. What's a disco car park? Germany, apparently.
No, it's the parking lot at a nightclub.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't even know people were still using the word disco. Fine.
Well, in Europe they do.
All right. May I have my unsolicited testimonial music, please? You know, I'm telling you, I get more mail on P90X than almost anything else on the show. Ian from Sunderland writes, Steph, I got P90X because I've been having some minor health issues, mainly about my health deteriorating in my mid-20s and turning into a pudgy slob.
Hmm.
So I decided to give P90X a try on your, but mostly Chris's, recommendation.
What? Hey.
He likes you better than me.
All right.
Not because he's steroid-ripped. I just like his commentary on the workouts. The Stephanie Miller Show does not... We have no information of any kind on whether Chris is steroid-ripped. We think it's just P90X.
Yes.
Hal commented on the amount of noise he heard through the floor while you were doing it. I live in an apartment and was concerned about irritating downstairs neighbors. But as Tony says, Tony Horton, our trainer, P90X, keep it quiet. I didn't realize when done correctly, the plyometrics aren't supposed to involve a hard landing. That's true.
Yeah.
I was just getting used to it. And Hal exaggerates. I was not that loud.
Well.
You also might want to clarify the P90X diet is just normal, healthy food, which is true.
People think
it might be special stuff or expensive stuff. It is not.
No, you can get it at any supermarket.
For the good I've noticed since I've started it, these are kicking my ass. Yes, indeed, we can. I can attest to the P90X ass kicking. I'm up to 4 pull-ups, no sweat, 3 chin-ups back-to-back. I know all results won't come this fast, but it helps keep me motivated since I can see actual improvement. I have no doubt that in 90 days I will see a total body remake. Great product. Ian from Sunderland.
Great.
Another unsolicited testimonial to P90X. Yeah, I am seeing results, Chris Lavoie. I am, because I don't, I'm, as like most women, I'm scared of the scale. But I was telling you, I noticed a lot of jeans were tight when I moved here. I'd just gotten off my schedule and whatever. And I'll have you know, my jeans fit like magic yesterday, and I've only been on P90X, what, about 2.5-3 weeks now?
That's right.
So take the P90X challenge with Mama, won't you? Go. In fact, you know what? I would go right to the banner ad at stephaniemiller.com, click on the P90X challenge, and take the P90X challenge with Mama. You can get it's a radio exclusive right now. Try it for free for 90 days. If it doesn't work, you can return it.
That's right.
Wow. It doesn't get better than that.
You have nothing to lose.
You can call 800-509-9FIT or go right to stephaniemiller.com, click on the P90X banner ad. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Rude Pundit and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. All right. You know, Chris, I went. I got a fair amount of hate mail last time I went on Joy Behar, and I said, you know, because I think Joy pointed out there seemed to be some violent rhetoric going on the right these days.
There certainly is.
Is sometimes in teabagging circles, and sometimes just in regular right-wing whack circles.
We document it quite frequently on this program.
Well, yes, except then I get called a left-wing whore and whatever.
The left-wing part they got right.
Yes. However, as you know, the Pentagon shooter. Last week, the California man armed with two semi-automatic weapons and many magazines of ammunition opened fire on police officers at the entrance to the Pentagon, wounding two before being killed by police. He appears to have been a right-wing extremist with virulent anti-government feelings, the Christian Science Monitor reporting, who traveled from California specifically to attack the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon shooting, just the latest in a string of violence seemingly motivated by far-right ideologies. Of course, last month, hatred of government motivated a man in Texas to launch the suicide attack at the IRS office. A recent Southern Poverty Law Center report, which we talked about, found a 244% increase. That's even more than the insurance companies are raising their rates.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In the number of extremist hate groups. As you recall, when the Homeland Security Department issued a report last year warning about that very thing, the threat from right-wing domestic terror, conservative politicians and commentators went insane, saying it was an assault on conservatism and blah.
Whatever.
Blah, blah. You know, it doesn't take a genius, Chris. We started talking about this during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there was something very ugly that started way back during the campaign that just sometimes it was a racist
yep.
underpinning, sometimes it was violent, sometimes it was both, and it was put out there, in some cases, by the vice presidential candidate. Sarah Palin saying Obama pals around with terrorists, and some of the rhetoric was very, very close to the edge. And so this is not a surprise to me, but and I think that's part of I've said this before, some of the teabaggers, they have some legitimate concerns and
Absolutely.
Anger, same things like Nancy Pelosi said that we on the left share
yep.
about corporate influence and yada yada, but the insurance companies, for instance. But what I'm saying is a lot of it is just they're ginning up sort of this mindless rage at just sort of government. And because Obama and Democrats obviously are in charge of government mm-hmm. right now, that's what I'm saying. It's taking this form sometimes of it. Where am I dueling? Oh, there they are. Mm-hmm. How about this one in the... Amarillo, Texas. Have you heard of this? There's a Christian hate group.
I've heard about this, yes.
It's called Repent Amarillo. It's terrorizing a Texas town, harassing gays, liberals, and other sinners.
Huh.
An evangelical Christian hate group called Repent Amarillo is reportedly terrorizing the town of Amarillo, Texas. Repent fashions itself as sort of a militia, targets a wide range of community members they deem offensive to their theology, gays, liberal Christians, Muslims, environmentalists, breast cancer events that do not highlight abortion.
Oh, What? What does that have to... What?
That gave me pause as well. I was...
What does breast cancer have to do with abortion?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Halloween, spring break.
What? They're against Halloween and spring
yes.
break?
Spring break events and pornography shops. On its website, Repent has posted a warfare map of its enemies in town. They first gained media attention in Texas following a campaign to boycott Houston for electing a gay mayor. I guess just the entire... city.
Okay. I don't think Amarillo is a spring break hotspot.
One would not think.
No.
Grassroots opposition to Repent is also building a group called Angel Action has mobilized against Repent, and blogs and Amarillo-based Facebook groups are springing up to protest their hate. Good for them! Wow. Breast cancer events. I'll need to think that through. 29
yeah.
minutes after the hour, right back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What are your Oscar night predictions?
Stephanie Miller.
I'll spend the evening wondering aloud why I've never won an Oscar while sucking on one of my homemade Chardonnay sickles. Wake up the next morning topless on the roof of our gazebo with our gardener Jesus poking me with a rake to get down. Oh, and Avatar for Best Picture.
That is so eerily accurate. It's
it really
creepy.
Is.
All right.
Right down to the Chardonnay sickle.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The Dow is up 7.5 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I am feeling rude as it's Monday.
It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit.
pundit.
Time for me to come to Papa. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Let's get to the part of the Rude Pundit this week where you mentioned, because that's always the most important part, as you know.
Of course.
You say the Rude Pundit did, in fact, call Republicans flaccid penises, and oh, how it made Stephanie Miller titter, which is very true.
I'm here for you.
Thank you. So where do we even start? This is something I mention all the time, is that they frequently invite me on TV to talk about Sarah Palin, and then I get right-wing hate mail about, you know, what a bitter, childless loser who's jealous of Sarah Palin I am.
Really?
Yes, and I go on record as saying I am a bitter, childless loser, but I'm a bitter, childless loser that agrees with 70% of the American people she's not qualified to be
right.
President.
One does not preclude the other.
Right, but you write a thing about conservatives want you to stop attacking their women because they always claim that, oh, they're much meaner on the left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we actually use better words.
Yes. You make a good point that it's like it usually pales in comparison. I mean, first of all, you can't be responsible on either side for everything that's on the Internet. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this group called the Culture and Media Institute, and that I've never heard of. And but they put out a list and then of the most disgusting attacks on conservative women in 2009. And it is like, here's a tweet from a Toronto reporter that was seemed to make a death threat or seemed to fantasize that Dick Cheney shoots Michelle Malkin, which you know, I'm not going to say that it's disgusting. I mean, and it's a tweet. And then there's a couple of things on here where, let's see, the comedian Chuck Nice compares Sarah Palin to herpes because Sarah Palin doesn't go away like herpes.
Yes.
And then you, one of the things you call Sarah Palin all the time made it on the list because you call her Caribou Barbie.
I know, it's awful.
Yes, I know. And how dare you? That is just a sexist attack on her. You are demeaning her. And you are actually, I think you're giving her much bigger breasts. But
yes.
And you're also taking away her.
But, you know, you make a good point that, you know, take a little peep into anything that's ever been said on the right about Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi. And it's like times 10 to the 10th power, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no comparison. Or all of the things about Sonia Sotomayor or you could go through all kinds of things on any left-wing female politician
right.
who doesn't meet a certain standard of attractiveness that the right seems to demand out of its politicians.
Right. But, and you point out, too, that a lot of these are their sort of mainstream commentators, whereas this thing you were talking about, it's like, who are these people? Somebody in Toronto, it's not usually mainstream people like a Rachel Maddow or anybody prominent, you know?
Right, or it's something that people put on their blogs, you know, which means that at best a couple of thousand people will have read it. And meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh is spouting off to his, you know, couple of million listeners, it's talking about calling Nancy Pelosi a ditz and talking about that her picture will keep birth rates down if hung in hotel rooms.
Mm.
Which is, you know, on the funny meter, it's so-so, but on the sexist meter, it's really high.
Yeah.
exactly. So let's move on to the state of the Republican Party, because a lot of, you know, talk about how the Democrats are a disaster and blah, blah. But this memo from the RNC it had led to your posting about slides that make the Rude Pundit want to shove a PowerPoint up Michael Steele's ass. Let's talk about that.
Sure. I also like that Mitch McConnell and Orrin Hatch are disavowing themselves, distancing themselves from this PowerPoint presentation that said that Republican donors are motivated by fear and negative feelings and towards the administration and either that or if they're the rich donors, they want their tchotchkes or they're ego-driven. They're ego-driven.
Yes.
I love that. And so it's just this cynical way of trying to get people to give money to them that other Republican politicians are now trying to say, now that they've benefited from it, going, oh, no, we don't believe in fear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, somebody was saying it last week, Rude, is like, oh, my God, I hope that Michael Steele doesn't lose his job over this or anything else, because they're having the worst fundraising ever under Michael Steele, and this is only making it worse. I think What Mark DeMoss, he's a prominent evangelical figure and Republican donor. He says he will end his contributions to the Republican Party in reaction to that leaked fundraising presentation. Blah, blah, blah. He wrote Michael Steele he was ashamed of the presentation, calling depictions of Obama, Pelosi, and Harry Reid shameful, immature, and uncivil at best. So...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, the photos that were on there, the Obama Joker photo that shows up at Tea Parties, it's like they want to adopt the rhetoric of the Tea Parties, but they're not willing to make the leap into saying, okay, we're the Tea Party now, because the Tea Party will reject them. I mean, that's the other thing. I think you brought up earlier that some of the beliefs that the Tea Party have are actually anti-Republican.
Yeah, well, here are the fun facts that we should consider as, you know, when we get all down in the mouth about the Democratic Party. Money worries curb GOP optimism. Their candidates have raised less than half the $84 million that experts estimate it will take to seriously threaten the Democratic majority in the House. The situation at the National Republican Congressional Committee even bleaker. They've raised a grand total of $4 million. That's what they have in the bank. That's after one of their best fundraising months. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, by contrast, has about $18 million.
That barely covers Michael Steele's private plane.
Exactly.
It barely covers his steak budget.
And then there was another story. Did you hear this? Was just fairly hilarious. So the finance guy behind this memo that's losing all the donors, they're paying him about 500 large a year.
Really?
Which is further pissed off Republican donors.
I think that that's a good career choice to go into fundraising for Republicans, and you're just living large.
Yeah, Bob, what's his name? Rob Bickert. He's the one who did this PowerPoint thing. Last week it was reported by Politico he's been paid at least $370,000 since last June by the RNC. It's been a source of displeasure among RNC donors who've generally been unhappy with what they see as the RNC's lavish spending. One complained to Politico he earns more than the President of the United States, and it appears he could receive north of $500,000 this year from the RNC.
So it takes them about 15, 20 major donors just to provide him a salary. That's where the RNC is right now. I think that's the statistic that should be out there.
Yeah, exactly. To come up with a memo that's going to scare off many of the RNC's donors.
Essentially calling their small donors stupid rednecks. I mean, that's what that says. They are fear and extreme negative feelings towards the administration, and they're reactionary. It may as well say God and guns.
Yep. So now, I must say, we could not be given a better gift, a better face of the Republican Party than Jim Bunning at this particular moment when we're trying to make the case about Republican obstructionism, can we?
No. And he's this great red-faced, white-haired, angry white guy with a southern accent that sounds like, you know, Colonel Sanders after he just, after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. He's beautiful. He should be out there as the face of the Republican Party, and he should be in every ad from here on out.
I love your post. Jim Bunning has been hit in the head by too many line drives.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the problem. Is it just there's no other way to spin it than how ridiculously mean-spirited and obstructionist it was what he did, which leads you to, in brief, why Jim Bunning should sodomize himself with a Louisville Slugger, which I don't, you know.
She says no.
Stephanie Miller sure doesn't endorse that. We're just saying.
No.
It's funny.
The old sit on it and rotate, I think, is the old phrase.
Yes.
If I remember my happy days.
Yeah, but I mean, you write great stuff about the Bunning stuff, but it really is perfect time between that and the insurance companies jacking their rates 39% in some cases.
Yeah.
Right when we're in the midst of this healthcare debate, right?
Yeah, it's as if the Republicans reached this moment when they could have tried to crystallize the debate around what they believe about the free market and everything, and the free market said, ah, screw you guys, let me show you what free market really is.
We're
40% hike right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know we've been talking about this since the beginning of time, but because you and I do talk about Democrats sometimes, and we're like, oh God, are we really going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory again on healthcare? I mean, what do you think is going to happen now?
I think that there is an honest tide turning that Obama has actually come in and influenced, that more and more the Republicans are sounding like frantic drama queens at this point.
Yes.
I mean, Orrin Hatch on one of the on Meet the Press, I think yesterday, he was hysterical about reconciliation as people were trying to point out to him, you do understand that if the House passes your bill, it's over. There's health care reform. That's it. We don't actually even need reconciliation for there to be a health care reform bill, but that it's going to be used for these small measures that in total will actually cost infinitely less than many of the things that have gone through reconciliation through the during the Bush administration.
Yeah, it is kind of funny watching their hysteria and their hysterical warnings to the Democratic Party. I don't know, somehow their concern for the political well-being of Democrats seems less than sincere. I don't know.
And when they're clawing at you and snarling, you know that the rat is cornered.
Yeah. Well, Senator Hatch, I mean, this is where they're getting caught. Things that they said, you know, on record, he was on record as saying that we agree on about 80% of the bill. And by the way, the two things he said they don't agree on is the public option and the employer mandate, both of which aren't in there.
Yep.
So now, you know, right, like, okay, so now what's your reason for being against it?
And now he says, nah, it's all trash. It's all trash. But you know what I said before? That was when I thought it wasn't going to pass.
Yeah. Exactly. Now it's a piece of junk, is what he said yesterday.
Yeah. Now I have to say that it's back then I could say, oh yeah, there's a lot we agree on. It's a shame about that other 20%, but what are you going to do? And now it's oh my God, the Republic's crumbling.
Republic's crumbling
because of reconciliation.
You know what is not a piece of junk is rudepundit.blogspot.com, which I peruse on a daily basis. Rude, we'll see you next Monday.
Alrighty.
All right, there he goes. His rudeness.
That's right.
Himself. 46 minutes after the hour. Oh, the Republicans have a sneaky new tactic on health care, Chris.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what it is when we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids can relate to this show. These guys aren't phonies.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely little lump.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Eric Bowler joins us in just a few minutes for Media Matters for America to co-host A Right-Wing World. Another rollicking one, in my personal opinion.
Yes, indeed.
Because, as Rude Pundit just mentioned, the right wing is getting a little bit hysterical over health care. By the way, did you see, I saw Kathleen Sebelius yesterday on Meet the Press. She said health care reform would have been dead on arrival if the White House had sent a finished proposal to Congress last year. She also blames delays in passing the measure on President Obama having to spend far too much time talking about what's not in the bill and trying to counter wild accusations by Republicans. Which is true. She says it is realistic to expect the administration to keep at it, even if the House doesn't act by March 18th when Obama leaves on an Asian trip. She said conversations will continue if necessary to overcome the objections of a stupid bird, stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. She said all you know. She just kept saying it, like all you can do. It's just she said he has a basic misunderstanding of the language of the Senate bill, and I don't know how you I think as John Fugelsang said Friday, I think he knows better. I think he knows that the Senate bill prohibits federal funding to be used for abortions. Period. So
plus the Hyde Amendment prohibits federal funds from being used for abortion. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
At any rate, in private pitches to Democrats, President Obama says he will persuade Congress to pass his health care overhaul, even if it kills him, and even if he has to ask deeply distrustful lawmakers to trust him on a promise the White House doesn't have the power to keep. Representative Ron Kind, who we've had on from Wisconsin, said he made the case, listen, we put in a very hard year working on health care reform. The time for action is now. Kind said the president joked that the political battle has contributed to the recent rise in his cholesterol. If you don't want the president's bad cholesterol to get any higher, just pass health care, for God's sakes. He and the president noted how ironic it would be if the health care drove him to his grave. That would be, yes, that would be ironic and awful.
That would kind of suck, actually.
Obama told House liberals last week he understands their frustration in seeing priorities such as the public option drop from the revised legislation. He promised to work with them in the future to improve health care laws, as Representative Barbara Lee, our congresswoman from California, said. She said, this is the first step, a foundation we can build on. He made a commitment to work with us on all the issues that are outstanding, and there are many. The party strategy calls for House Democrats, despite a lot of misgivings, which we've talked to many of them about, to go along with the health care bill the Senate passed. Obama would sign it into law, but senators would promise to make numerous changes demanded by House Democrats. Because Senate Democrats no longer have the numbers to stop GOP filibusters, the changes would have to be made under reconciliation. So that's what they're talking about, using reconciliations just for parts of it. So here's the Republicans' new strategy, Chris.
Oh, boy.
They're playing on House Democrats' suspicions of their Senate colleagues. I mean, this is divide and conquer, right? I mean, this is an old strategy, saying Senate Democrats may not keep their end of the bargain, which is a legitimate fear. They're saying if you pass this, there's no guarantee that then the Senate is going to make these changes in reconciliation. Republicans working overtime trying to sow doubts and fears among Democrats. They say Obama is marching his party toward political suicide in a year when he's not on the ballot. Democrats, of course, counter, why would Republicans, they ask, shout warnings if they truly believe Democrats were blundering their way to catastrophe? That's what I keep saying, Chris. Well, we have to stay strong, and now is the time, even though you're tired, to keep up the fight and get on the phone with your Democratic legislators and say you must pass health care.
And
because, go ahead.
Democrats need to stay cohesive, too. Republicans are playing on the Democrats' inability to have any kind of cohesion whatsoever.
Yeah, the disaster will be for them politically will be if they don't pass anything.
Right.
If they cave into these kind of, this is exactly what Republicans always do. They fearmonger, they try to divide, they try to play to your, you know, your darkest fears, your lowest common denominator. They said it in their RNC fundraising. Oh, they always use fear.
Right.
That's what they're trying to use. And I think, you know, and I understand some of the, believe me, we've gotten, I've had a good idea that nobody followed, Chris, but I think we could just dissolve the Senate and things would be a lot better.
I think there are constitutional hurdles that we'd have to
jump
over.
I share their frustration about the Senate, but I'm just saying, you know, I think we have to go forward, and I think we have to try. And again, I do think it is something that we're going to try to strengthen over time. See, on the right here, on the right, what's his name? Judd Gregg.
Mm-hmm.
So for weeks now, Republicans have been grousing that if Democrats use reconciliation to finish health care, it would be unprecedented in scope. You know all the fear-mongering they've done on that.
Sure.
It would be the end of the Senate. Senator Lamar Alexander said it would harm the future of the country, said John McCain. And then the helpful warning from Eric Cantor, they'll lose their majority in Congress in November.
Thanks for that.
On Fox News last week, Senator Judd Gregg declared using reconciliation to pass the most significant piece of public policy of his lifetime would be a railroading of the system. It would be a... Orrin Hatch, as Rube Pundit mentioned, a little bit stumbly on, I believe it was Meet the Press yesterday, Chris. Because this is a big, it's a different than, but yes, I've used reconciliation, but this is a big piece of social thing that's more whatever. It's like they have no leg to stand on in this whole. Anyway, so this past week, now the GOP is trying to downplay reconciliation in an effort to scare House Democrats against voting for the health care plan, arguing there's no guarantee the Senate is going to use the reconciliation process. So it's hilarious what they're trying to, you know. On CNBC, Judd Gregg mused that once they passed this great big bill, I wouldn't be surprised if the White House didn't care if reconciliation passed. I mean, why would they? In an interview on Fred Thompson's radio show, he even suggested that reconciliation was almost irrelevant. Which is it?
That show is still on, the Fred Thompson radio show?
Apparently. That was the biggest shock in this whole story.
It really is, yes.
He said, I mean, as a very practical matter, there really isn't going to be a lot of people who really care whether it passes or not, because then they've already gotten their massive bill through and it will be law, which is the good news. But now they're saying, oh, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to use it anyway. Like, you know, just in an effort to try and, as I say, sow fear and distrust among Democrats. And you're exactly right, Chris. We have to stay together for once in your lives, Democrats.
But
just pretend you're an organized party for once.
It's against Democrats' nature to be organized, though.
Right.
I mean, you've seen the protests.
Listen, I've had an argument or two with hemp people at a Get Out of Iraq rally.
Yes.
I'm like, focus, people. There's people dying. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert joins us next from Media Matters for America for a rollicking right-wing world on The Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy post-Oscars. 6 minutes after the hour. All's right with the world. Sandra Bullock won an Oscar. You know me. That's my barometer of a good movie if Sandra Bullock said it. I could watch Miss Congeniality a thousand billion times.
Okay, she won a Razzie on Saturday night and then an Oscar last night. What does that tell you?
It's karma. It's the world being put right again.
No, she shouldn't.
Razzies.
She
shouldn't
have won.
Oh, yes, she should. I didn't even see the movie. I know that she should have because she's Sandra Bullock. Love her. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boyd. Voice deity Jim Warder. Me, Stephanie Miller. Catherine Bigelow. It was Chick Night. Catherine Bigelow won Best Director, making her the only nominee that's all ever slept with one of the other nominees.
as far as you know.
Well, they were married, so you're right. Maybe they didn't sleep together.
Or maybe we don't know about others who have slept with other directors.
Yeah. Maybe that's true.
Who knows who has slept with Steven Spielberg?
All right, I don't.
Who sleeps with cats? Mrs. Katz. Sometimes Mrs. Nussbaum. Joke from 1937.
What did you think of the Oscars, Jim?
Great, I loved it.
I thought, by the way, Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin were hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love them in the giant snuggie together.
I missed that part somehow.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, speaking of entertainment, for God's sakes, it's Monday, and that means Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America is here. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
It's the Oscars. It could not possibly be as entertaining as Right Wing World. Let's dive in, shall we? By the way, I love your piece about, it is just hilarious, what's his name, Andrew Breitbart?
Yeah.
Having to finally admit that he got as duped by this James O'Keefe as everybody else did on this, the phony pimp footage or whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he said O'Keefe should have won a Pulitzer, and he's a brave new journalist, and... You know, as Media Matters and other bloggers have pointed out, I mean, there was a hoax. I mean, James O'Keefe didn't go in dressed as a pimp. That was used to make fun of Acorn for being so dumb and so stupid. Mm-hmm. So now we finally find, well, Breitbart's defense is, I didn't know either. I mean, he was literally...
So much for right-wing journalism.
I mean, he was the author. He was the mentor. He launched this stuff. He was on TV endlessly talking about it. And now 6 months later, he says, I didn't know.
So
it's all crumbling, and the desperation and his vitriolic attacks on Media Matters are pretty funny to watch, but the whole thing has sort of gone up in smoke.
The New York Times won't even own up to it, though.
That's right.
Didn't they say that they weren't at the same time.
I know. Here's what I love. Have you noticed all the these right-wing, pathetic right-wing groups trying to copy Media Matters? They're trying to be Media Matters on the right.
Well, I mean, you know, we've had things like Newsbusters, which has been around forever, and the problem is, like, I would love a right-wing blog just to, like, dedicate itself to, you know, fact-check Rachel Maddow.
Right.
You know,
right.
That would be a very brief blog. You know,
exactly. That's the problem. Yeah, Newsbusters frequently suss out liberal bias in liberal radio, which is quite a journalistic accomplishment. I'm like, hey, morons, this is an opinion show. I pretty much admit what I am.
No, you don't.
Mike Huckabee on the Hannity Show on healthcare.
This is an administration, Sean, and I don't understand it. They seem to be just absolutely hell-bent on the things that are polar opposite of what the people of America are wanting. It's almost as if they have determined to get behind the wheel of a Toyota without brakes and ride it anyway, right off the cliff.
Ah, sure.
Healthcare is a Toyota without brakes now with Toonsis driving.
Yeah. Well, we get a little of the kamikaze imagery like that. The right-wing blogs over the weekend are referring to healthcare as a jihad. This is all this sort of alarmist, sort of insurrectionist rhetoric about, you know, trying to portray Obama as sort of at war with the American people. What's very interesting, if you go back to the Clinton years, the press always beat up on Clinton because he always followed the polls. And George Bush got all this credit because he followed his gut, even if he did what was unpopular. And now the talking point is, how can Obama possibly be for healthcare reform if it's not popular in the polls?
I know.
Credit for following his principles, and he should be following the polls all of a sudden.
Yeah. And no, Eric, I'm so glad you said that. Was exactly what I was going to say next. And this is what you guys do such a great job documenting. It's not, I mean, the stuff that we see on Fox or right-wing radio, that's predictable. But you're right. It's when the mainstream media picks up that talking point. I thought my head was going to explode yesterday. I don't know if you saw David Gregory with Kathleen Sebelius. But that's the talking point. It's not popular. The American people don't want it. Why are you? And it's like she had to point out the same thing the president did. If you poll the American people on each component, they're for it. It's, you know, where is the storyline that the Republicans have done such a good job lying that, yes, they've muddied the waters?
Suddenly this idea of leadership is you read polls. You know, that's not what they said during when Bush was president. They gave him all kinds of credit for ignoring the polls.
I don't read the polls because I don't read.
But now for Obama, he's supposed to. Apparently, he was elected to simply read polls and therefore, you know, craft his agenda based on what Gallup says.
Eric, it drives me crazy. And what about every poll for a year showing 70% of the American people want the public option? And yet that's cast as some sort of crazy far left plan that's too far left to even be on the table.
Right.
Anymore.
So we're supposed to pick and choose. Obama's supposed to pick and choose which polls he's supposed to follow based on sort of the chattering class consensus.
Yep.
Right.
Bill Cunningham, who is, if you can't be good, you should be loud if you're on right-wing radio, apparently, on Hannity.
The American people want to throw out the bums, even Republican bums, and so many of the Tea Party movement, and I've been part of it, say that we gave the Republicans power for a long time and not too happy. Not too happy with the results. And I think right now, any Republican that says, we got the Tea Party movement, there's a strong third party movement starting. When I watch Glenn Beck, when I listen to Glenn, when I have on 912ers, when I have on individuals who think far right of you and I, they're thinking differently than you and I about this. They don't think they're part of the Republican Party.
Yes, good. Yes, go with that. Follow Bill Cunningham and Glenn Beck farther to the right. Go.
Well, that's what Sean Hannity is, of course, terrified of. And that's what Bill Bennett last week or a couple weeks ago after Glenn Beck's CPAC speech, where he did attack Republicans quite a bit. Suddenly, you know, these purely partisan Republicans are nervous that this Tea Party thing might actually morph into something else, which would be, of course, a disaster. I mean, that's how Bill Clinton easily won election twice, because it was a third-party candidate. And if there is again, Obama wouldn't even have to campaign, I don't think.
Right.
So they're absolutely panicked about this, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's the thing that, you know, I think, you know, what also made me crazy was this whole media analysis of the Scott Brown election. You know, first of all, you know, you look at his first votes. He's no right-wing teabagger.
No.
You know, he voted for the health care, you know, in Massachusetts. That's just like what Obama is trying to pass. And you know, so that's they keep trying to say, oh, see, that means Americans don't want health care because Scott Brown got elected.
Yeah, no, the Tea Party folks have a very poor record so far in terms of actually getting people elected or you know, New York 23, mm-hmm. Deborah Medina in Texas and others. And Scott Brown, what did he do when he sat down with Barbara Walters? He said, oh, you know, Tea Party had nothing to do with my success, you know.
Right, and by the way, I'm voting for the jobs bill, and there goes the teabagger's head.
So they still have no track record in terms of getting people to the ballot, and so, and again, that's another reason I think the Republicans, the Sean Hannitys, are terrified, because if they go a separate party, they're going to be 20-30%, and it's going to be a nightmare for the Republicans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on unemployment.
In the year of the stimulus, unemployment rose to 10%.
Yes.
That's what people see and they feel. Our numbers today show that 1 in 6 of all Americans is underemployed. So you can have a governor who's happy about saving a few jobs here and there, but the economy and unemployment has gone way down south with stimulus. So if you're talking about perceptions, it's obvious that the stimulus has had very negative effect, if anything, on perceptions.
If you're lying.
Wow. Wow, except that's exactly the opposite of what any credible economist has
exactly.
said.
And it was interesting, the unemployment numbers that came out on Friday. You know, the folks on Fox News all day were talking about, you know, we lost 36,000 jobs, unemployment stayed basically the same. Awful news, you know, more bad news. And then if you open the Saturday's Wall Street Journal news section, which I tend to think has a pretty good deal on economics, you know, their lead was this is really good news. People were, you know, the corner has been turned. People are going to start hiring in the spring. We would have seen more jobs if it hadn't been for the snowstorm. So if I had to choose between, like, the Wall Street Journal business section and the Fox News in terms of analyzing, you know, unemployment and economics, I'll go with the Wall Street Journal.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and again, you can't argue with cold, hard numbers. We were losing, what was it, 770,000 jobs a month when George Bush left office. And,
yeah,
you know, so...
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to spin that we're going in the right direction.
Well, that's what's so fascinating. They're so reluctant to, you know, acknowledge any good news. I mean, it really is sort of this, you know, blame America first, you know, rhetoric that's now sort of driving the conservative media. Sort of weird.
Well, it's, you know, I was talking a couple of stories, the Pentagon shooter and, you know, others earlier, Eric, that I think that's part of this. You know, what's very scary and is turning violent in some cases, this just kind of virulent anti-government rhetoric, because now that, you know, Democrats are in the White House and in the majority, it becomes against them, but it's, you know, this kind of mindless rage against the government.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Austin kamikaze bomber, I mean, it's clearly this insurrectionist rhetoric, which is the government. People are going to have to take up arms against the government. And that all that stuff has been completely mainstreamed in the last year by the right-wing media.
Mm-hmm. 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Mollert remains in the sidecar for the rest of Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
You up for a round of word association? What do you think when I say incorporate your business or form an LLC? How about wills, trust, and powers of attorney? If you answered LegalZoom.com, brilliant thinking. But what if I said trademarks, patents, real estate, small claims, uncontested divorce, even bankruptcy help? I hope you thought of LegalZoom first for these legal documents, and here's why. LegalZoom empowers people like us, people with zero legal experience, people who may wonder if they can really create their own superb legal documents. You can. LegalZoom makes it happen incredibly fast and easy. They even have free customer support to help you. Remember, for personal and business online legal documents, think LegalZoom first. LegalZoom puts the law on your side. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. And for even more savings, enter Stephanie in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. The Dow is up 8.5 points.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes.
This just in on CNN. They arrested the wrong Adam. Turns out they got Adam Carolla instead of
Adam Gahan.
No,
yes.
Not the Al-Qaeda Adam.
No. Uh-uh. Oops.
All right.
I'll be able to say the phone number.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Welcome back, Eric.
Hey.
All right. I don't know what Tom Hanks did to Bill O'Reilly. But somehow he's gotten on the enemies list.
Over the years, Mr. Hanks has become an ideological sniper. And I still don't know why he's like that. What's his beef? What's he talking about? Nobody knows. Now, that doesn't diminish his talent, which is major, but it does make him kind of a mindless partisan. Again, state your case, Tom. Don't be a pinhead.
What the hell is he talking about?
Wow.
What did Tom Hanks ever do to anybody?
That's a good question. I mean, what's he doing now? I mean, him and Spielberg are overseeing this massive HBO series on World War II.
Right.
You know, shedding light on folks who deserve more attention in the amazing battles of the Pacific. I mean,
he's been more pro-military than almost anyone in show business.
What is...
It's hard to tell what sets O'Reilly off.
It is.
It must have been an off day for you guys. He had nothing to say about Media Matters. Tom Hanks somehow got in the crosshairs. All right. Glenn Beck on O'Reilly's show.
I would like to present the recipient of the silver pin for the greatest broadcaster in human history to me.
Right. Wow.
Wasn't that a chuck? I'm not sure how those two egos are coexisting.
It's very
at Fox
interesting,
News.
Isn't it?
I think O'Reilly has had to seem like he's down with it. since Beck has out crazied him.
Yeah, and I think he's getting a bigger audience at this point, which is what O'Reilly really cares about.
Yeah,
but they seem to be getting along fine. It's there's an awful lot of egos over there under one roof, and I'm not sure it's going to be hugs and kisses forever.
From what I understand, Beck and Hannity really don't get along.
Boy, you don't see much. You don't see much crossover there.
No, you do not.
Hannity and O'Reilly hate each other too. Okay, Hannity on Harry Reid.
All right, good news, America. At least that's what Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is calling the latest job numbers released this morning. Now, despite the 36,000 more Americans who lost their jobs last month and the fact that the nation's unemployment rate remains a stunning 9.7%, Prince Harry, he says this is good news. I'm not kidding.
It's moving in the right direction.
It's gone down, Moran.
I mean, you know, to listen to Hannity and the others, on the one hand, you know, they mocked the unemployed. What was it, Tom DeLay over the weekend, saying basically people who are unemployed or choose to be unemployed. And remember when Phil Graham was talking about how this was all the psychological recession?
Yes.
So they love to sort of beat up on the unemployed and the uninsured. But then when they think it's handy for a partisan attack, they go after Harry Reid, who, of course, was saying, gee, 36,000 beats 700,000 unemployed.
Yeah.
And by the way, our two favorite Republican moments from the unemployment insurance Jim Bunning thing was that we're creating a nation of hobos.
That's
with unemployment. And what was the other? Oh, that it makes people lazy. It makes
That's
them
right.
not want to get jobs.
Just sit around and get all those huge unemployment benefits. So, yeah, I mean, they play politics with the unemployed all the time. And sometimes they make fun of them. And here's Hannity with sort of his mock tears that, you know, Harry Reid doesn't take it seriously enough, which is a joke.
Yeah. So, Eric, that completes the right-wing world, by the way. Eric, got to get your take, though, before you go on health care. It is a little entertaining to watch the right-wing going fairly hysterical over health care now that it's looking more like a reality.
Well, it's a jihad. It's a holocaust. It's some sort of gang rape. It's a war on – I mean, it's really – I mean, you can tell it's getting close because the imagery and the rhetoric is just beyond – I mean, it's really like you sit back and look at this and you're like, we're talking about – insurance? And the rhetoric.
Not being able to drop from your insurance for having a pre-existing what?
And how is that? The bloody violent rhetoric is really just a sight to behold.
Well, yeah, and it's hilarious because I'm getting whiplash just from watching. They were screaming about reconciliation. It's never been used before ever in the history of the Republic. And now they're saying, now they're trying to, you know, divide Democrats by saying, oh, they probably won't even use it. They won't even, you know, the Senate will go back on its deal once you pass
it. Right, right.
You know,
I don't think they really thought it was going to be reality. And now they see Obama and maybe Democrats are going to use it. And so suddenly, again, that's adding to sort of the hysterical rhetoric that we're hearing now.
Yeah, well, I I'm very touched, I don't know about you, about their concern for our political prospects in November, should we pass health care.
I know, they're so concerned about the Democrats' future, they're begging them not to pass health care, because it's only going to hurt you. So, it's very touching.
Yeah, exactly.
Democrats can always turn to Mitch McConnell for their political advice.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, whom we love. Thank you, Eric. See you next time. All right, there he goes. Chris, I think you're wrong. I think Eric would enjoy a jingle.
Okay.
I think we should get Shano on that.
We'll get Shano on that.
Everybody has an ego jingle.
What
or
rhymes
a jingle.
With Bollard, though?
Because Frisch rhymes with fresh.
Yeah.
It actually
Shano
means
will think
fresh
of
in German. So.
All right. Speaking of reconciliation and health care, here we go again. Oh, look who it is. It's John McCain.
Oh, no. What did he... flip-flop
running
on this time.
Running as far to the right as he possibly can to beat right-wing whack J.D. Hayworth in the Arizona primary. Yeah, I'll tell you what he... What he opposes now that he used to be for as we continue.
Apple
29
pie.
Minutes after the hour.
Windsurfing?
Stephanie Miller Show.
One of my guilty little pleasures is to snuggle up with a big bucket of buttered popcorn, dim the lights, turn on...
Stephanie Miller.
Laugh myself silly. And what the hell is wrong with that? Another thing.
Thank you, Harry.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steph.
Hey, guys. I don't want to sound snarky, but, you know, since David Gregory does Meet the Press... I swear, he asked really lame-ass questions, like, you know, what's your favorite color, or they're open-ended, so the right-wing wackos, they can state their talking points, and then he never comes back at them. It's very rare that he does, and it just, it absolutely drives me crazy.
Well, I know, you know, Steph, the thing is, obviously, I think we always thought David Gregory was a good reporter during the Bush years. But I just think that it's part of this thing we talk about that, you know, since he's taken over for Tim Russert, I think they get so scared of being called liberal media by the Republicans that I, in my opinion, he's, you know, goes out of his way to be tougher on Democrats and on the White House than he is. And you're right. All you're asking for is the same tough questions on both sides. But
exactly. No, Jake Tapper, who I think rocks over, you know, on the ABC side, he's awesome. I mean, he follows up with a question and whatever. You know, Sunday's show, EJ loved that guy. I mean, he saved the show because he, I love he got Orrin Hatch all flustered at one point. Orrin had to put his glasses on and look at notes because he's like, oh, my God, this guy's gone off the page. What do I do? You know?
Right.
But so that's my point. I get so sick of it. You know, I keep thinking, you know, when it's Sunday, it's another NBC show that's taking a dive, you know.
Yeah, no, I thought he was particularly tough on Kathleen Sebelius.
Oh my God.
And not, you know, nearly as tough on Orrin Hatch, who a lot of times, like I was saying, there aren't two sides to things when there are facts involved. You know, on the times reconciliation has been used or whatever, right?
Exactly. And he asks these questions, and there's only one set of facts. We all know that. We're not all dumb, tooly people. We can figure it out. So, you know, I wish if someone was close enough to him, just pinch him in his arm and say, get a spine,
dog on it. All right. Thank you, Steph.
I don't mean it meanly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. We don't, the Stephanie Miller Show does not promote pinching, however, on Meet the Press. You probably wouldn't be invited back.
Although, you have pinched John King's ass.
I don't believe I'd have. I thought about it, but
at the Democratic National Convention when you interviewed him?
I thought it was Larry King.
I think you got a pinch in.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Got to cut down on the morning drinking. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. All right. Here was my, yes. Oh, John McCain again. What? Why? Boy, you thought this was bad during the campaign. This has just gotten pathetic now. I mean, his running to the right against J.D. Hayworth. After supporting Medicare cuts through reconciliation, Maverick McCain now opposes them.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, let's see, Senator John McCain introduced legislation, this was last week, I believe, correct, preventing Democrats from using reconciliation to change Medicare spending. If adopted, the amendment would prohibit lawmakers from making changes to a program that makes up some 20% of the federal budget through the reconciliation process.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how that was one of the arguments? Well, 6% of the budget, we can't use reconciliation or something. The problem isn't just that McCain has voted for 9 out of the 13 reconciliation bills that have been offered during his time in the Senate. It is that he has previously supported reducing Medicare spending using reconciliation, some of which cut Medicare by more than what the Senate health care bill is proposing now.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Sunday shows, I believe this is from Think Progress, they say, but McCain can rejoice in the fact that Republicans who complain about out-of-control entitlement spending on one hand, but criticize Democrats for reducing wasteful Medicare spending on the other, are still taken seriously on Sunday morning talk shows.
Right.
Oh, boy.
See what I'm saying?
That's why I don't watch them anymore.
Exactly, because they have to, like, you know, pretend like everything's valid. John McCain in particular, I feel like they never point out his just unbelievable hypocrisy.
Well, that's part of the deal. You don't ask me these questions and I'll show up.
Yep.
That's how it works. And then they get access, you see. It's all lies, but, you know.
But they get access.
Yeah.
They get a marquee name on their show. Right. That's the only reason they don't ask them the tough questions.
Mm-hmm. You know who's, Think Progress, one of the only people that are actually, like, sending real reporters to ask real questions, for instance. For instance, this story. In recent days, Governor Mitt Romney has tried to simultaneously tear down President Obama's proposals to reform health care while defending his own legacy of reforming health care in Massachusetts, which looks oddly similar, Jim.
Hmm.
It looks oddly very similar to President Obama's plan.
Huh.
Romney's health plan includes an expansion of Medicaid using $385 million in annual federal money, as well as an individual mandate and a sliding scale of subsidies. Today, 98% of Bay State residents have quality, highly regulated coverage. Defending his plan last night, Romney told Fox News, the only way the Massachusetts system can work is by having an individual mandate. Fighting to kill health reform, of course, the right wing has attacked the individual mandate as unconstitutional, among other things. So Romney again tore into Obama's efforts on health reform after he gave a speech. Think Progress caught up with him to ask him about the constitutionality of the individual mandate. Romney refused to answer if the individual mandate, which underpins his own Massachusetts system, is even constitutional. So he just had he had no comment on that. I mean, that's the thing that it just that talk about the mainstream media. That's the one, Jim, that's driving me the craziest. I've already mentioned this morning. The mainstream media going with the that the Scott Brown election was about that the American people don't want health care.
Right, yeah, right. Which has nothing to do with that.
They already have the same health care, and Scott Brown voted for it. All right. We've also
that's
mentioned...
That's liberal media for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also, PolitiFact recently published a fact check noting that Republicans have repeatedly claimed to agree with 80% of the health care proposals. You've heard that, right? Remember?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Think Progress asked Senator Orrin Hatch about the report. He said, I don't agree with 80% of it. I think most of it's a piece of junk. However, why just back in September, Hatch indicated he agreed with the president's assertion that both parties agree on 80% of health care.
Oh, my God. Can they be any more blatantly flip-floppy?
He said, and I quote, it's the 20% where all the money is, where we have a lot of disagreements. For instance, he was saying basically that they're going to have a public plan in one form or another, and they're going to have an employer mandate, I'm willing to work with him. So neither of those two things now are in Obama's final proposal, correct? So now what? That's, you know what I'm saying? And David Gregory doesn't ask him questions like that.
Right.
So you said you agree with 80% except those two things. Now those two things aren't in there, plus the president has put in a bunch of other Republican ideas that are provably true. That
so?
Came
now?
From you. Now why? Now it's a piece of junk? You know, it's like...
a piece of junk. I agree with 80% of it, but I agree with all of it, but it's a piece of junk. Whatever makes Obama look good, I'm against it.
I'm telling you, this is so now we've been talking about jobs. The president, this is the kind of thing that literally we just played at Right Wing World. Charles Krauthammer saying that the stimulus is causing unemployment to go up. What?
Yeah.
Any economist will tell you, look at number of jobs lost. We were losing 770,000 a month
when
Barack Obama took office. Pardon me?
Math has a liberal bias.
Especially that new math.
Yes, this last month we still lost jobs, which is not good, but it was only, what, like 30,000?
As opposed to 700,000.
We're going in the right direction.
You're going in the right direction!
That's what we were trying to say. Under George Bush, we were going the wrong way. You see, we're going the wrong way. And now...
You're going the wrong way! What? You're going the wrong way!
No, not anymore.
Okay. So the president trying to explain this again...
This morning we learned that in February our economy lost an additional 36,000 jobs. Now this is actually better than expected, considering the severe storms all along the East Coast are estimated to have had a depressing effect on the numbers. And it shows that the measures that we're taking to turn our economy around are having some impact. But even though it's better than expected, it's more than we should tolerate.
Oh, I thought you believed in global warming. Now you say snowstorms. You mentioned that snowstorms and the economy said you lost 30,000 jobs.
You know, that's the thing is, you know, we have Christian Weller on, who is a very esteemed economist, and we have him on once a week, right?
That's right.
This is what you keep, every report that's coming out, this is better than expected.
Yes.
This is better than expected. Is it great yet? No. But it's like you can't
we're a lot better than where we were.
We're turning an aircraft carrier around. You can't do that on a dime.
Yeah.
So to speak.
But again, as a nation, you would think that we're all in this together. We should be able to argue, okay, we were losing this many jobs, now we're losing this many. Something is working.
Right.
As most economists say, the stimulus is working. We've only spent a third of this. Let's keep doing this.
Why isn't everything perfect yet? You've been there for a year.
I don't understand how anyone can take seriously someone going, let's go back and do the things that got us to 770,000 jobs lost a month. Let's go back and do that and see if that works this time.
Republicans like Americans being out of work because they're expensive. They'd rather pay someone in, you know, Kuala Lumpur to do it for a nickel.
I was reading this breaking news over the weekend, Jim. Biden may announce a new Middle East peace talks. Middle East peace envoy George Mitchell arrived in Israel Saturday to try to make the final push for the announcement of indirect proximity talks between the Israeli and Palestinians ahead of the arrival of Vice President Joe Biden in Israel on Monday. And I'm thinking, if they solve this and there's peace in the Middle East, the right wing will find a way that's
a bad,
bad
thing. Yeah.
Or they're not for that because the president
he's just forestalling the rapture. How dare you? You communist.
I mean, seriously, I mean, not that that'll happen.
You
godless
Muslim communist.
Pigs will fly out of my ass before there's peace in the Middle East. But
right.
I'm just saying, Jim, seriously, if he cured cancer or, you know, I...
Why do you hate the chemotherapy industry?
With an accord between Israel and... It's just like everyone would be like, what? No, that's... I mean,
it's frustrating.
Yes, indeed, it is. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on the job situation, which is very important, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all right, it's all right, all right.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Christina Romer from the Council of Economic Advisors on the recession. Online.
This has been a terrible recession, no question about it, but the trajectory is certainly greatly improved.
Yes, which you would think we can agree on, but apparently not.
No.
If you just listen to what to Right Wing World. Hmm? Senator Harry Reid talking about the people out of jobs.
Only 36,000 people lost their jobs today, which is really good.
Yeah,
well,
so that's what
phrased
they,
that better.
Yes. But see, that's what they take out of context. And he meant, obviously, it was less than expected, as any economist will tell you,
right.
And certainly a lot less than the 700,000 to 800,000 we were losing a month when George Bush was president.
Especially considering the snowstorms that we had last month.
Right.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
On the East Coast.
Snowstorms? What does weather have to do with anything? Now, I mean global. Now you meant global warming is a hoax. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we meant.
Weather is
Senator,
different from climate, Hannity.
Senator Bob Casey, no, Democrat of Pennsylvania.
6,000 manufacturing jobs lost over the last 4 months.
Per month, yes.
In my opinion, that's good news.
Yeah, again.
Inartfully said. No. However,
well, exactly. But everybody know, you know, we're all in this together, this recession. We know, we get it. Yes, it's not good that people are losing their jobs, but it just, you know, that's the thing is when you hear the numbers, you realize how awful things really were. I mean, mm-hmm. They're still not entirely better, but okay. Representative Jim Marshall, Democrat of Georgia.
Cost is the problem with access for people. If it didn't cost as much, more people would have access. The reason it costs so much is because of the current structure. If you do more of the current structure, it's just going to cost more. I think people realize that. People also realize that we're bankrupting the country over this. And if we don't get a handle on it, if we don't reform it somehow, not only do individuals continue to have problems accessing the system, but the next generation is going to be buried in debt.
Yep.
So, right, he's talking about health care reform, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, this is what we keep saying. That, you know, I thought the best piece I've read recently was last weekend, I believe it was in the New York Times, but about how things are not going to stay the same if we do nothing.
They'll absolutely get worse.
Yeah, exactly. Representative Kevin Brady, Republican of Texas, on the unemployment rate.
The employment rate remains unchanged, is not moving down as was promised with the passage of the first stimulus. And the number of discouraged workers reached a series high of 1.2 million.
The unemployment rate is down. It is,
yes.
It is, yes.
Which is good news.
Exactly. All right, Jan and Amherst, my right-wing bunt cake, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jan.
How kind of you to take my call. Hey, listen, remember a couple weeks ago I predicted an Obama meltdown? I'm doubling down on it. This guy is so enamored with his own sense of persuasion, he's taking his entire party off the cliff. Now, you guys, I mean,
huh?
I can... Mm. No, he's taking his entire Democratic Party with him.
How so?
These guys are going to lose a lot of jobs by following Obama. And you guys don't think so, but when he loses all of the support, because he's going to, sometime in the next 30, 60 days,
The president's going to lose all his support in the next 30 to 60 days.
Well, listen, if he doesn't get his health care, everyone's predicting his landmark issue not passing. He's weak.
What do you mean everyone is predicting that?
Pardon me?
Not everyone is predicting health care isn't going to pass. Most people are predicting it is going to pass in some form.
Well, at the expense of his party, because they're going to lose a lot of seats.
But your concern is so touching.
No, it's not. I don't want him to get it. No, listen, I'm just being sincere. I don't want him to get his health care. I don't think he's going to. But he's going to lose all the support of his friends. And when he does that, I think it's going to be over. So I think he's going to lose it. And you guys continue to think that if he passes it, we're all going to just love what happens. Because it's not going to happen.
So you don't think we need health care reform of any kind?
Oh, please, don't do that. Well, yes, we do.
That's a pretty straightforward question.
No, don't assume anything about what I think. Yes, we do. But I don't think the way that they're going about it is at all effective. I think adding costs to it is not exactly a way to bring down the price.
What
costs are they adding?
How do you add 30 million people to the rolls of insured without adding cost? You have more people, it's just going to drive the cost. It's supply and demand. It's just that simple. And the thing is, the odd thing about this whole thing is that the insurance companies...
Yes, that's why insurance companies, since they're being given so many new customers, need to have some sort of competition so they have an incentive to keep their prices down. Do you think it's right for Blue Cross Blue Shield to raise premiums 39% on customers in 1 month?
Stephanie, we are spending $1 trillion to eviscerate a industry that in 1 year makes between $5 and $8 billion, and we're spending $1 trillion making these guys the scapegoats. They're net.
We're
profit.
Trying to eviscerate the health insurance company. We're giving them millions of new customers.
Yeah.
How are we eviscerating them?
Listen, if you come in, there's still a question of the constitutionality, which I wish that the Republicans would take up, because I don't think the government can force you to buy something.
Really? Well, Mitt Romney didn't seem to think it was unconstitutional, and he said it was critical to the success of their health care in Massachusetts.
Once again, you are thinking that I'm a lemming just going off a cliff because Mitt Romney passed this thing in Massachusetts. I would think secretly Mitt Romney probably doesn't like it too much, and it is turning out to be a boondoggle because of the cost.
He doesn't like it too much.
No, he can do whatever he wants. But
most people in the state of
Massachusetts.
I'm not here to defend Mitt Romney. Okay. The thing is a bust.
Have you talked to anyone in Massachusetts?
Pardon me?
Have you talked to anyone in Massachusetts? See how they like their health care?
Well,
you seem such an expert on it.
I have a nephew who just happens to be who played for the Patriots. So, yeah, I do have some. He obviously doesn't have to.
Right, because he gets good health care from the Patriots in the NFL.
Yeah, most people in Massachusetts don't get health care from the Patriots.
The rich guys never, ever even have to buy insurance. Please, these guys can pay for it out of pocket.
Right.
They're not sitting there with this insurance.
But most people can't afford to pay for it out of pocket like Rush Limbaugh talks about.
No, I'm one of these people that actually pays for my own insurance. So, whatever. Listen, we just have a philosophical difference where if the government is going to get involved, it's just going to destroy the system.
I see. See, the private market has been working great.
Yeah.
Why did the premier of Ontario, seriously, why did he go to Florida?
It wasn't Ontario. It was one of the maritime provinces.
Whichever one. One of the provinces of Ontario. Why did he
not of Ontario.
Come to Florida? Why did he go to Florida? Guys, listen.
John, let me ask you something. Because seriously, I've always wanted to get a serious answer from a conservative on this. I thought you guys have always been the let the private market work, competition, yada, yada. Why are you so scared of a public option? Why would that be a bad thing to have the insurance companies have some competition?
Well, if I might just answer that with something I just saw about 2-3 weeks ago. We had the board of the General Motors going there and asking questions of a competitor, Toyota, actually trying to demean them. Now, see, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the fact that the owners of General Motors, the government, and the unions are sitting there asking about a competitor. And I know Henry Waxman at one time.
Okay. Thank you all for your answer, John.
Getting a little off topic.
Yeah.
The president of Ontario sort of Cuba?
It's a bunch of black guys.
And yet a big, giant non-answer. Thank you, John. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, howdy. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy post-Oscar hangover. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoye, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Richard, in Munster, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good. Go ahead.
I Googled that story about the Canadian, that premier that went to Florida to get an operation.
Yes.
I did that last week. And what I found out was that he had to have a valve replaced, and he went to Florida because the Canadians wouldn't do the non-invasive surgery that went through the ribs. He did not want to have a scar in his chest. So I guess the Canadian health care wouldn't pay for the non-invasive type, so he went down. He's very rich anyway, and so he went down to Florida to have it done. Now, I had some of the same surgery a year ago, and mm-hmm. I specifically asked my doctor if I could have the non-invasive type, and he said, no. He says, that's not a good way to go because it takes longer to heal, and they have to go cut through muscle mm-hmm. and this and that, and it's much better to do the open heart surgery. So, the fellow that called you, who's probably being paid by some right-wing think tank or whatever, he's really, really wrong about all of this stuff about the
Canadian healthcare. Yeah, no, this is what happens. They get one story that becomes this talking point that you hear, you know, all over talk radio or whatever. You know, where's the guy once that went from Canada because their socialist system it's no good.
But that proves our point. If you have the money, we have the best healthcare system in the world.
It's about access.
Yeah, so that does nothing but prove our point.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Richard.
That's my point. Rich guys should be allowed to live and poor people should die.
Ray in Oak Park wants to make the same point. Hello, Ray.
Stephanie,
yes.
I just have to agree with Rich there in Munster, too. This guy's a multimillionaire. He's like the equivalent of a governor or something in Newfoundland.
Right.
And he wanted this non-invasive procedure, and he also has a condo that he was going to recover in right outside the hospital there, not too far away.
Well, yeah, and as I think Michael Jackson proved in our country, if you have enough money, you can do many things that are medically unwise and not recommended.
Exactly.
All right, Nikki in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to remind you that David Gregory is, when he was being considered for replacing Tim Russert as moderator on the Press,
mm-hmm.
There was a concern from NBC because he's best friends with Karl Rove.
So how
impartial can he be?
I had not heard that. That speaks of bad judgment. Okay, let's go to Cheryl in Massachusetts. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Weighing in on the Massachusetts health insurance, it's not as good as it may sound because it leaves out the lower middle class, which is me. I make $100 over the cutoff for subsidy, so I can't get any help. I pay $80.77 a week for a single parent with child. There's a $1,000 per person deductible. I can't afford that, so I don't go to the doctor, even though I'm paying for insurance. And I just got the note that my insurance is going to be going up to almost $100 a week.
Mm.
And I still won't be able to use it because I have to, my daughter comes first. So it's not really as good as it may sound. It's really not.
You're talking about
the people in the middle.
Right. Well, I mean, unfortunately, nationally, though, it's far, far worse. Cheryl, that's the point, is that we leave out, I mean, millions and millions and millions of people. I mean, I think that the problem is we're trying to, you know, even start to address that.
Well, I'm hoping they will. I'm all for everybody getting health insurance. I have medical issues that I need to get looked at and I can't afford to, so I'm just hoping that I'm okay by the time that everybody gets on board with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I hope they do something, you know, that's why I think we have to start here. They need to do something about not just costs, but also health insurance reform. So thank you, Cheryl, for your story. Neil in Madison on mandatory insurance as well. Hey, Neil.
Oh, Neil's no longer there.
Marie in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marie.
Thanks for taking my call, Stephanie.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Fellow who called, I got to tell you,
I'm an attorney, and it took me one semester in law school to get the basics in constitutional law. I'm so tired of these people calling up, talking about the constitutionality of mandatory coverage when they went to a weekend class that's being held by who knows who with a text written by God knows what right-wing nut job.
Right.
So now
right.
we have all constitutional scholars.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it would seem like the president, having been a constitutional law school professor, he might have been aware of that before he suggested the. And it's like I was saying, you know, this today, Mitt Romney was on record as saying that the what do you call it, the mandate, it was critical mm-hmm. to the Massachusetts plan. All right, where's my Hollywood music? It was Oscar night last night, everybody. As you know, I'm happy because Sandra Bullock won. Didn't even see the movie. Don't care.
I love her. I don't think she should have won.
Why?
Because I think Gabourey Sidibe did an amazing job in Precious. And she should have won. And she had the best line on the red carpet last night.
What'd she say?
She said, if fashion were porn, this dress would be the money shot.
That was great.
I love that.
Catherine Bigelow won the Best Director for the first time ever for a woman, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. Barbara Streisand presented her with the Hurt Locker won top two prizes. They won Best Picture and Best Director. Jeff Bridges, Best Actor. Sandra Bullock, Best Actress.
Mm-hmm.
I was done after. Did you see the, by the way, it was the last Barbara Walters special.
I didn't stay up for that.
I did see part of that.
At least in New York, they aired it before.
Well, that's because they air the Oscars live here. It starts at 5. And so they can't, so they play it afterwards here.
Yeah, see, it starts too late here for me now. I didn't see all of them. But the Barbara Walters, when it was just her on a lot of different staircases, they just did shots from all the specials.
Oh, no.
Hello, here was me on another set of sweeping stairs. I will walk down the stairs.
Watching the way I didn't twip.
Yes,
I might have acquired a speech impediment.
Anyway, but she interviewed Sandra Bullock, who was delightful. Anyway, and then Monique won.
Cheeky.
What's that?
She was a bit cheeky, I thought, Sandra.
She's. I just can't watch Miss Congeniality enough times in my. And you know, I didn't. Avatar.
She says no.
I didn't care for it.
That was your mother talking right there.
I didn't care for it. I'm not big on the special effects, and it was too much violence. And
I think either Precious or Up in the Air should have won. I thought both of those movies were absolutely amazing.
Didn't see either of them. Mm. Loser. I will see. Now I have to catch up and find out what everyone was talking about.
Up in the Air has George Clooney in it, so
I know. Well, yeah, and that would be reason alone. Mel Gibson, Jim, said he was going to watch the Oscars at home naked, I'm guessing so he could just shout anti-Semitic things
at all of the Jews
in the privacy
in the room.
Of his own home. He probably had to stop going to the Oscars because he would be too prone to shout things about Jews.
Yes.
Well, you see Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin referenced that when they talk about Christoph Waltz, who plays a Jew hunter. Right, and they pointed to the audience, well, here's the mother load.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I love the story. Says the actor who has won two Academy Awards will not be attending, instead be hosting his own free-spirited screening. I'm guessing that means a bunch of other Jew haters that could, you know, they could free-spiritedly, Jim, yell at Will.
Why was he naked, though? Why was he? Would he watch?
I know, maybe from all those years of Joan Rivers yelling, who are you wearing, Adam? He just wanted to not have to wear anything to the Oscars. I don't.
It's been a while since she's done that, Stephanie.
Who?
Joan
Rivers. I know. Well, that's when I stopped watching the Oscars. But there's no point if Joan Rivers isn't involved. I don't.
I thought Ryan Seacrest did a great job yesterday.
I didn't watch E. I watched the, I know it's supposed to be the boring, the ABC approved, whatever that thing is.
Oh, that was awful.
All right.
Even worse was Channel 5 with Sam Rubin. Ugh.
Oh, I told you that, Jim, there was a great moment. It was the closest to a Joan Rivers moment is he was talking to, I think, Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, yes.
And he literally said, oh, there's Catherine Bigelow, but I'll keep talking to you for a couple minutes.
Like,
that's the part you're not supposed to say.
Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the thought bubble. I see
there's someone much
coming.
More important who's
behind
almost
your
here,
shoulder.
But I'll just tread water here for a minute.
Bless his heart. You know what, though? It is tough to be on the red carpet. You were on the red carpet one year,
weren't
you?
I did it once. Yeah, you can't help yourself.
You were sprawled on the red
carpet. Hours of blurting out stupid things at celebrities that you've never met.
You blurted out something really stupid at Kevin Costner.
Oh.
Oh, I did. I said, would you send me a message in a bottle?
Because that was his big movie that year.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you, Steph.
Mm-hmm.
that's journalism.
I know what I said to Gwyneth Paltrow. I said, I did a play on the joke. I'm like, oh, you know who I can see right behind you? Blythe Danner. I love her. Don't you love her? And see, I did know it was her mother. It was a joke.
Oh, you
right,
did know.
They, oh, I thought
I
you did not know.
Knew that I
but
knew.
People didn't know that you knew, so. Wow, who's this
All
idiot?
Right. The breaking news out of New York is, this has a Dick Cheney feel to it, this story. Naomi Campbell's chauffeur is now apologizing.
Wow.
It's like, remember Dick Cheney, the guy apologized for getting his face in the way of Dick Cheney's bullets.
Right.
Yeah, that was entirely his fault.
That's really weird.
The 27-year-old chauffeur who told police that Naomi Campbell stomped all over his head with her fist has quickly backed up and is now apologizing to her for blowing things out of proportion.
I'm sorry for hurting your hand with my head.
Oh, God.
Through his lawyer, he issued a statement to the AP saying he got angry and overreacted.
Wow.
Most chauffeurs do tend to get a little touchy when you smack them repeatedly in the back of the head. They don't tend to like it. He delisted writing, he simply hit the brakes too hard and Naomi's closed fist accidentally hit the back of his head several times. It's the bitch version of whiplash.
I fell off the swing.
Shortly after he apologized to Naomi, she scared Jesus off the cross by flinching at him, according to Delisted. Delisted, further speculating, did Naomi seal his lips shut with a crisp cashier's check, or was he scared into silence when he woke up to find a broken BlackBerry in his bed? It's the high-tech version of the horse's head, you see. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, back with more celebrity stack, including Larry King, which is one of the best Larry King stories ever. All right, in the meantime, might I have my unsolicited testimonial music? Yes, that's right, Chris, it's yet another P90X letter David. David, who is a filmmaker. Hey, Steph. Listening to your podcast about P90X, I broke down and took your challenge. I'm 100 pounds overweight and bouncing back from cancer and AIDS. I need to be physically healthy now that I'm mentally there. P.S. I'll keep track of my progress and let you know. Thank you, David. Me too. I'm in the midst of my P90X challenge, and I am loving it, and I'm seeing the results that my pants are fitting better, which is a beautiful feeling if you've ever had your pants get too tight, and then you start to see the difference. It is like magic. Oh, by the way, these are some fun facts. Fortune magazine notes that Wisconsin Republican Representative Paul Ryan leads a dozen other congressmen in P90X workouts most weekdays.
Huh.
This is from Fortune magazine. Back in Washington on Monday mornings and during the week, he leads about a dozen congressmen, including former football player Heath Shuler, through a workout called P90X, a punishing bipartisan series of push-ups, pull-ups, karate, and yoga. It is punishing and bipartisan, let me just say.
Yeah.
It kicks your ass no matter whether it's a Republican or a Democratic ass. Trust me on this. But that's why it's so great. You're always working your body from a different angle. I love it. You can do it at home. You can do it with your kids, with your dogs. Take the P90X challenge with Mama. We will be in a beach body shape by summer. Call now. Check this out. I have a radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. What do you have to lose? Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now. Click on the P90X banner ad. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more celebrity stack and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, Tim in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
First-time caller. Listen, I just could had enough of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon and the Nook of the North coming to the U.S., and I remember I was invited to a dinner at a friend, and at that time I had an opportunity of meeting a woman who was a civilian member of the board, the Health Board of Canada. And we talked all night about health care, and she talked about how there are situations when Canadians have come to the United States because we have some of the finest medical institutions in the world. What is being left out in all of this, and shocked the hell out of me, was that
Canada reimbursed the medical institutions and the doctors here in the States for the Canadian citizens.
Mm, yeah, well, you know, and the guy himself said that it didn't reflect any lack of confidence in the Canadian system at all. You know, as someone was saying, this was an elective thing that he wanted to do that was based on vanity, which is what we do best here in America.
Yes.
He didn't want a scar. It was swimsuit season. All right, let's go to Ed in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ed.
Well, how are you, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
I watched a TV program about 2 weeks ago, and they had a member of the insurance board from out of Washington on. And one of the things he said, and I can't believe that nobody's taken up on this, is the United States is the only country world where insurance companies are allowed to make profit on health insurance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why isn't that being brought to the attention of everybody? Because
and when we keep they keep saying, oh, we have the best system in the world. No, we don't. What are we, 30 something, Chris?
Mm-hmm. 37, I think. 37.
Yeah, France is number one. The amount we spend and what we get, it's ridiculous. Frank in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
The reason why Mel Gibson is watching the Oscars nude because he doesn't want to soil his Nazi uniform.
Mm.
But, you know, the thing is, you're talking about for profit. Ronald Reagan deregulated the insurance industry, and they're really a monopoly. And the fact is that Stephen Hemsley, the current CEO of United Healthcare, is going to make $700 million, and William McGuire, the ex-CEO, walked away with $1.7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's all at the expense of denying people health care.
Yep.
And
exactly.
You had a caller that said we're going to ruin the system. The system is ruined.
Yeah,
I don't understand
what he's
talking
about. All right.
So those guys don't need health insurance. They can pay cash.
Exactly. Neil and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. I'd like to sort of punch a hole in the argument about the how maybe unconstitutional to make people buy health insurance. How can states make a person buy auto insurance then? Wouldn't that also be unconstitutional?
Mm-hmm.
But no one's bringing that point up to them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think because the problem is, like, you know, we say it's like we all are paying for it. You know, the Republicans have done a good job trying to cast this as you have yours. You don't want other people to get theirs. We're all paying for everybody's anyway. We need to find a more efficient way of doing it, mm-hmm. you know, because it clearly is broken. Jonathan in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
I just want to chime in on the Massachusetts plan because you know, I live in Massachusetts. And the problem is rates are exorbitant here. And what we don't have and what they're proposing on the national level is the cooperatives, because right now the only choices we have are the existing insurance companies, which because they have to take everyone, you know, our rates are probably some of the highest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And my rate went up from $750 to $875 a month.
Well, which makes it another argument for a public option or Medicare for all, really.
Absolutely, because without that, you're just giving it all to the insurance companies, and most people can't afford it. We're losing.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing subscribers in Massachusetts, you know, by a large amount. I just wanted to say that.
Yep. I hear you. Absolutely. Preston in Tempe, Arizona, in healthcare as well. Hey, Preston.
Good morning.
Good morning.
During the Republican primary, every one of them stood up and said that we had the best healthcare in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the World Health Organization, we ranked 38th in healthcare.
Yeah, 38th. Sorry, I had the wrong number in the 30s. 38th.
Mortality is at 37th. Adult mortality is 45th.
Yep.
We practice mercenary medicine. We practice whatever the hell we can get paid for.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly the whole, you know, the crux of it is the, you know, making it a for-profit business. And, you know, like Jim always points out, you make a profit by denying people coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you make money. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. All right, back with the celebrity stack, including my future husband Larry King is in it. It's a sexy story.
A sexy story about Larry King? That's going to keep people tuned in?
Bow chicka bow bow.
Just out of curiosity, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Please try to tone down the psychotic...
Stephanie Miller.
...in your otherwise fine programming.
34 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 19 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John in Chicago on healthcare, as the president is speaking about it as we speak. Go ahead, John.
Hey, young lady. How are you and the guys?
Good. Good. Go ahead.
this was kind of an indirect shot at the boner. My brother lives in Ohio. He's had heart problems for the last 20 years. He can't work anymore. They must have some kind of program. I don't know what the name of it is, but he's had three open heart surgery procedures totaling in excess of $1 million. They don't charge him a dime. They don't know, he doesn't owe them a cent, but it wasn't free. It's been passed on to the taxpayers of Ohio. And if he'd have had the opportunity for some insurance of any form, it would have been went on to the insurance policies. But no, the public in Ohio got to pick up the tab anyway.
Yep, I know. Yeah, it makes no sense. The Republicans' rationale for not reforming health care, none of it makes any sense to people in the real world. Paul in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on health care as well. Hi, Paul.
Hi, I am a physician who used to do consulting with an insurance company, and I don't know if this is too fine a point, but, you know, the government doesn't run Medicare. What it does is it gives the rules to contractors like Aetna and Cigna and other companies and tells them how to run Medicare. So basically what we would have if we had Medicare for all is we'd have the same health care we're all getting but without the big bonuses.
Ah, yes, thank you. It is a very fine point and a good one.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
He put too fine a point on it. It was a fine point. He is the smartest boy in class. All right. That is a disturbing headline. Larry King gets fondled by the TSA. During his preparation for his first commercial flight since September 11th, King missed that he even had to take off his shoes to go through security. He probably hasn't flown commercial in a while.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah,
at LAX,
he usually flies private. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? He offered me a ride home to L.A. Last time he was in New York when I was on the show a couple weeks ago. He's like, Stephanie, why don't you come home? You can ride with me. I was a little tempted. I was like, you know what? I might
just check on the leaks.
I might do this. New York's been a little rough. I might. That sounds good. I don't know. He has the whatever Time Warner thing. He offered me a ride.
Wow.
But, he was miffed he had to take his shoes off, so then he set off an alarm. I'm going to guess it was the suspenders.
He might have a metal hip. Who can say?
Something.
Yeah.
He set off the metal detector. He said, so when you fail the test, which is what I did, I failed the security test, they have to give me a complete body search. So I had to stand there, and they're talking with me at the same time, saying, love the show last night, turn over your belt. And then they grab you by the privates. They examined me pretty good. Larry King got a little action at LAX. Got a little.
Welcome to the rest of the world, Larry.
Yeah. You could have. Well, listen, I've said if I'm going to take that many things off, someone's having sex with me. I don't even care at that point.
You really want a TSA person to have sex with you?
Listen, if I take that much stuff off, that's a lot of bother, for God's sakes.
Or you could do one of those scanners where they can see you naked.
Yes, which coming soon to an airport
and
near you.
Making Michael Chertoff even more rich.
Yeah.
Sharon Osbourne's hardest job is running her husband, Ozzy, she says. She believes looking after him is the most challenging thing she's ever had to do, believes wives should get paid for what they do for their husband. First of all, how does she even understand what it is he wants? That would be the toughest job. It's just the translating the Ozzy to English, you know.
Sorry, what?
What? Huh?
See what I'm saying? So, how annoying.
He needs a UN translator.
Exactly.
He was right here.
D-Listed writes on Mickey Rourke is the man whore of all man whores. Mickey Rourke wants those weak-ass footballers of the UK to know they don't have anything on him when it comes to Mickey has had more vagina on him than a go-go girl at Lilith Fair, according to D-Listed. During an interview in the UK, he was asked what he thought about footballer Ashley Cole and his harem of mistresses. He said, I once spent a weekend in the UK and had 14 women in one night. British footballers have nothing on us when it comes to women.
Oh, my God.
I'm just getting around one woman wanting to have sex with Mickey Rourke. I'm just, you know.
Oh,
man. All right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, but he's alleged not to shower at all.
Yeah, I can smell him just when he's on TV. I can,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just saying. In an interview to air on CBS Sunday Morning, a correspondent, Lara Logan, mentioned to Sean Penn that some critics say his recent trip to Haiti was more about building up his image than helping. He said, do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yes, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it.
Oh, dear.
Well, he does. He always takes a beating in the rain. Remember when he was down? How many of you were fishing people out of the water in Hurricane Katrina? And he was down there, and that's what Fox News was saying. Just because, you know, they don't like his politics. So they were saying, oh, he's doing
it. Yeah, but probably could have done without the rectal cancer.
Yeah,
yeah, he probably could have. He could have dialed that back.
Yeah. Yeah. But Sean Penn is famously not fond of being filmed. So
I doubt he really wants paparazzi.
Beat the crap out of paparazzi. So they don't know much about Sean Penn if they think he went down there to have people take pictures of him.
All right. Speaking of our friends on Fox and Friends, but just all of the Fox and whatever.
Whatever.
Could you take your organ out for me, please, Chris? Sarah Palin has a message for critics of her hand notes during the, teabagging keynote speech.
Yeah.
God did it too.
What? Whoa. So if God jumped off a bridge.
God, apparently a fan of Sharpies.
If God jumped off a bridge, would that make it okay?
I guess so.
Wait a minute. God wrote on his hand? What?
Well, where do you see where she goes with this? At a fundraiser for the Ohio Right to Life group, she assailed the media for getting all wigged out about that and claimed they're attacking her because they couldn't argue with the content. What?
There was content?
Jobs or energy? Those are just words. It's not content.
That was not content.
It's only words.
I had a friend that used to claim she wrote jokes for me, but it would be like that, just like a word. She'd be like, I was thinking basketballs or something. And I'm like, what? And then, like, if something came up, she'd be like, oh, I wrote that. And I'm like, no, that's just a word. It's not a...
It's not a punchline.
It's not a concept. It's not a joke. Okay.
I hope you didn't pay this person.
No.
Okay.
Referring to the crowd to no, it would just be someone that would go, oh, I thought of that. The thing you said about, I'm like, no.
Oh, I see.
No, you make a joke about Iraq. Kurds way... What? No.
Referring the crowd to a Bible passage from Isaiah 49:16, she assured them that she's in the company of God. She said if it was what was good enough for God, scribbling on the palm of his hand.
Where does it say?
It's good enough for me, for us. In that passage, he says, I wrote your name on the palm of my hand to remember you, and I'm like, okay, I'm in good company.
I think she just pulled that completely out of her ass.
Yeah, I think she, and then wrote that on her hand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or maybe it was a mistranslation from Aramaic.
Or maybe she's just stupid as...
Oh, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God did it. Okay. All right.
Whatever.
Maybe there's some biblical scholar that can clear that up. I'm sure John will talk about it on Friday.
All right. So Jim broke the news earlier on the show. So they caught the wrong Al-Qaeda. They caught Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Not the right...
No, they caught a Toyota Corolla.
Oh, damn it. Well, that's one more danger off the road.
Yeah.
boy. This really made me sick. I don't know what's happening with this, but I'm sure you've heard President Obama's advisors are nearing a recommendation that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed be prosecuted by military tribunal.
Oh, boy.
A step that would reverse Eric Holder's plan to try him in civilian court. Marine Colonel Jeffrey Caldwell, acting chief defense counsel at the Defense Department's Office of Military Commission, said it would be a sad day for the rule of law if Obama decides not to proceed with a federal trial. I thought the decision where to put people on trial, whether federal court or military commissions, was based on what was right, not what is politically advantageous. Yeah, I hope they don't reverse themselves on this. Lindsey Graham talking about the terror trials on Friday. Lindsey Graham talking about the terror trial, or maybe not.
If we could start over here, we could find a pathway forward that not only would allow military commissions to be used, but at times civilian courts, and we could possibly close Guantanamo Bay safely if you have a comprehensive system.
That's what they're saying, that politically they may have to do this to trade getting Gitmo closed.
Yeah, it's fine. We,
if we had somewhere to put them here, then they would agree to closing Gitmo. I'm telling you, it's just that... They're going to make sure this president can't do anything that he's trying to do. Whether it's closed Gitmo, they're going to, put up a roadblock.
That's not the hill I want to die on. You know, it's fine. If he wants to trade that for closing Gitmo, as long as we get Gitmo closed, I think that's a fair trade.
I think you're making them holier warriors by trying them in a military tribunal. They are criminals. They should be tried in criminal court to admit that our courts can't handle it. I just think it's... All right. Did you see, speaking of 9/11, Jim, did you see I'm a Dinner Jacket?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? right after this guy at the shooting up the Pentagon, they touted the fact that he was a 9/11 truther. And Glenn Beck's been leading up this to this for months, saying that 9/11 people are going to kill Obama. And now, right on cue, Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, I'm a Dinner Jacket called the official version of the September 11th attack, a big lie used by the U.S.
true.
As an excuse for the war on terror.
Six out of ten of the commissioners agree with that. Well, they agree that it's... a lot of it has not been uncovered anyway. But the
Pentagon, the Pentagon shooter we were saying earlier, Jim, I mean, he was a right-wing guy. It's just, he also, you know, I mean, he had a lot of, you know, right-wing ranting about anti-government
and
whatever.
He was manic depressive and a pothead and had other problems. Or it could be MK Ultra. I'm not sure.
It's just where sometimes even we have things we collide with the teabaggers on, like, you know, mistrusting corporate power and insurance companies, having questions about 9/11.
I still think Ahmadinejad is deep cover CIA. I think he was, like, recruited by Savak to infiltrate the Islamic fundamentalist movement in Iran back then.
Do you think there was somebody going, he's too crazy, no one will buy it. Let's go ahead.
It seems like everything he says is scripted by Karl Rove. It seems like it's designed to get.
Yeah, but you know what right wing world will be tomorrow. It's like, oh, it sounds like they sound like Democratic talking points when, like I'm a Dinner Jacket said, you know.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly my point.
Mm-hmm. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. By the way, we're imploding here in New York.
You are.
New York Democrats falling from the skies. We'll talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow's Tuesday, Charlie Pierce Day.
Woo-hoo!
Of the Boston Globe and author of Idiot America. Kathy in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kath.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm not a Bible scholar, but I am a practicing Christian and a liberal, mm-hmm. and I am so sick of these people turning the Bible around. In the Old Testament, God the Father does say, I have you in the palm of my hand, or I've written your name in the palm of my hand. It's a metaphor for crying out loud. It means he knows you, he loves you, and he'll always be with
you. He didn't mean with a Sharpie for your talking points, you dope.
He didn't mean he was using a cheat sheet for crying out loud. I am so sick of these people. They take certain things literally, but, you know, not love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That we can't take literally.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, Catherine in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kath.
Hi. Hey, I got my mind changed about, quote-unquote, socialized medicine almost 20 years ago when my 15-year-old daughter was raped. Mm. And the insurance company would not pay for the ambulance, even though I had coverage, because she had not called our primary care physician prior to calling the police to see if ambulance transportation was really necessary.
Wow.
I felt like hell, excuse my language, and I got my payment. What I had to do was not printable. You can't even say it over the radio, okay?
Yeah. We all said it in our thought bubble. I got it. All right, Catherine. Thank you. David in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave. Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm so glad you picked up the phone because I was riding into work and I heard this guy saying on your show about supply and demand, let the free market settle health insurance and supply and demand and all this baloney. Now, the question I have for this guy, it seems like everyone's missing the point. They don't make anything. It's not insurance is about access. And because it's not a product, a physical product, like a shoe or something like that, it's not subject to the rules of supply and demand.
Yep. I hear you. All right. Joe in Long Beach, last one. Hello, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, Stephanie. You know, I think that I could be persuaded to allow the sheikh to be tried in a military court. If it frees up some room in the civilian court so we can try George Bush, yeah. Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld for war crimes.
All right. Thank you. Good. All right. You got me there. By the way, am I the only one that doesn't want to talk about Karl Rove's stupid book? What's the name of it? Courage and Consequences.
Blech.
By the way, he talks about a private phone conversation he says he had with Harry Reid, where the Senate Democratic leader offered a deal to confirm judges he considered morally unfit in order to clear a logjam in the Senate. Jim Manley, Reid's spokesman, just said, "I'm not going to respond to a guy who says such a well-documented lack of familiarity with the truth."
Yeah.
Senatorial for.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, well, why would you believe anything in his book? Like, who wants to read the whole thing about the Joe Wilson and the weapons of mass destruction? It's like, you're a liar.
Right.
It's been proven. Why would we want to read your version of events? Ugh. All right. Meanwhile, the implosion continues here in New York. Democratic Representative Eric Massa, they're saying, is going to resign today. Is that what the word is?
Yeah, but he's coming back today saying that he could return. He is accusing Democrats of ousting him over health care, that because he would be a no vote on health care.
Well, I don't know. There's these allegations that he didn't specifically address. All he admitted to was salty language. He didn't address sexual harassment allegations. David Patterson, meanwhile, did I see today that he's saying he's not going to resign?
He's going to serve out his term.
Yes, Governor.
I don't have any plans to resign. I am working on the business of the people of New York State, the most urgent of which is that we pass a budget that's deficit is now ballooned to $9.1 billion. And at a certain point, I will cooperate with the investigations.
I think they're going to secretly replace him with Fred Armisen.
Let's watch and see if anyone notices.
He's the Folgers version of David Patterson.
It would be funnier.
Nancy Pelosi with her version of I Can't Hear You.
This is Rumor City. Every single day, there are rumors. I have a job to do and not to be a receiver of rumors.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we should point out, though, that the Republican Party appears to be imploding on many fronts as well, between the teapaggers and the... by the way, you know, I'm doing this, I'm emceeing the radio conference here in New York soon.
Uh-huh.
You've mentioned this before, Chris, but the right-wing radio hosts, they hate John McCain.
They really do. I know when I worked for right-wing radio in Arizona, oh, God, did they hate John McCain.
Yeah. Mark Levin said this is a race about conservative versus a phony, so let me be the first national host to say it. Glenn Beck once said McCain would have been far worse for the country than Barack Obama. He said, "I'm convinced McCain's going to be one of the guys who pushes through a health care compromise." No.
Compute says no.
Michael Savage, who sadly endorsed McCain in 2008, but at the same time called him a dunce, a dummy, and a walking schmuck, has also lined up behind J.D. Hayworth, who is, by the way,
a little nuts.
Yeah, he, by the way, he's a birther, it seems like.
Yes.
He's, he said, we all had to bring our birth certificates in order to play football. He said the president should come forward with the information, that's all.
He has.
Yeah.
Many times.
He said, I'm just responding to what constituents write me about. All I'm saying is for every race across the country, especially with identity theft in the news, it would be great if people can confirm who they say they are. Yeah, he's concerned about identity theft with the president. That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, he's looking out for him.
The state of Hawaii computerized all their records. The original does not exist. Does not exist for anyone born in Hawaii.
Boy. So here are the fun facts on this guy, besides being a right-wing. Between 1999 and 2005, Hayworth received $69,000 from disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff.
Uh-huh.
When Abramoff was convicted of defrauding his clients, Hayworth refused to return even a single cent.
Wow.
At the same time, his PAC was paying 25% of its revenue to his wife, Mary. this all led to his humiliating loss, 2006 loss to Democrat Harry Mitchell.
Yep.
So this is the guy that might beat their presidential candidate in 2008.
And he's a big doofus, too. Former sportscaster.
Ah, yes. Just like Sarah Palin.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. The doofus ticket. Well, let's form their own party.
Let's hope that the Republicans continue to populate themselves with right-wing former sportscaster doofuses. All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget Charlie Pierce tomorrow and much more. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer Boy Toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, Miranda Moreno on phones and drums in for Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.